Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast on Talk Sport 2. Looking ahead to the start of the ODI series, which gets underway live and exclusive on Talk Sport 2. Coverage getting underway at 10 a.m. The match starts at 11. Be sure to join us. I'm joined by Darren Goff. Goffy, looking ahead to the start of the series. Well, actually, before we talk about that, the way that South Africa fell away at the end of that T20 series, second innings, when England were just going crazy, really. Joss Butler, David Milan, taking them to a really comfortable victory in the end. But you've got to worry a little bit about where South Africa are, where their head's at, where the captaincy's at, where the whole team at. Let's hope it's not as one-sided as that last game.
Well, to be fair, you know, I was in touch with Matt Boucher, actually, just now, and to wish him an happy birthday. I talked a little bit to him about the series, and I actually thought South Africa in the first two games were pretty good. I think they give England a good run for their money. It's needed something special from England in both those one day, as Johnny Bairstow's 80, and obviously Morgan and Milan, the way they played in that second one, chasing down a total. What let him down, and I think it was quite obvious, was his inexperience and the skill ability of some of his bowlers to deliver a plan. And what I mean by that is, but they're under pressure. Bjørn Hendricks, I talked about that during the second one day, but just before the second T20. That one over cost South Africa, let's be honest about it. And Ngidi in the second game didn't bowl well at all. And then in the third game, that was just England at their very best when they're chasing down the total. Joss Butler just the anchor man, really. And just a spectator, as David Milan played a quite extraordinary innings, whether he was sweeping, whether he was hooking, whether he was cutting, whether he was dabbing, whether he was inside out over extra. That was one hell of an innings.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought the gulf between the two sides only really became apparent when he seemed to click it up a gear. And as you say, it's very often you see Joss Butler playing the holding role. But credit to him. I tell you what, complete this, by the way. Highest ever ranking. If you go back in time and you apply the method that they have now, the highest ranked batsman of all time, Test batsman, would be Don Bradman. The highest ever ODI batsman would be Viv Richards. And the highest ever T20 batsman, David Milan. That just shows you how good you've got to be to get into that side.
I'm not believing that, though. Listen, David Milan is having an absolutely unbelievable spell. Averaging over 50 with a bat, with a strike rate around 150. It's pretty impressive, but Richards were pretty good. AB de Villiers, I'm pretty impressed by him, and Virat Kohli are three players that spring to mind. But there's no doubt he's in a rich vein of form. And if you consider only 12 months ago, they were struggling to get him into the side. Owen Morgan were reluctant to give him a chance. And nobody could quite understand it. I think because when he kept getting the odd game here and there, he always delivered. And now he's got that place. It's sealed down for him at the moment. What is it, 18 games or something? 17, 16 games before the World Cup. He's going to have a real drop-off for Joe Root to get his place at number three in that side. I bet Joe's absolutely gutted. And it wouldn't surprise me now with these one-dayers coming up if Joe Root has an absolute belter of a series, he's going to be so determined to deliver. He's seen Milan play the way he's played. And Joe's capable of that, by the way. People think Joe is just one of these test batsmen who's just going to plod along. But you've seen him in test matches. He likes to get after the ball. He likes to score. And if you look at the importance of players like Kane Williamson that he is in T20 cricket, Joe Root could be England's man to just to do that role. And I think they are keen to get him in, but there's no way they can do that at the moment while ever Davin Milan is playing the way he is.
Absolutely. Well, let's look ahead to that ODI series. I actually caught up with the captain, Owen Morgan. There was a little bit of controversy this week with the signalling, the codes coming from the dressing room onto the pitch. One of your old mates, Michael Vaughan, weighed in saying he'd never take that. Once you're captain on the field, you just deal with what goes on out the field. You're not going to be taking instruction from up from the balcony. And it was a question I asked of Owen Morgan.
There was some viewpoints put out on social media following that from former England captains suggesting that they would be almost morally outraged that they were being told what to do. As someone who's been in and around the England camp for a decade and more, can you give me an idea of the way the game has moved on, the way the game has changed insofar that how a similar kind of suggestion would have been taken when you started as a player to where we find ourselves now with the game?
Yeah, I think captains are different. You get captains that I think really enjoy, I suppose, the title and the power and the accolades that go with it. And then you have other captains that like continue to be pushed and want to learn for the benefit of the team. And for me, this is a system that we're going to use to try and help myself and the other leaders within the side almost take a little bit like the emotional and the feel of the decision-making on the field and compare it to the hard data that is continuing to feed information into us and the off guys off field. And for me, captaincy hasn't changed a little bit. I think as leaders within a group, you continue to change with either trends of younger players coming through, trends of the game, and what's needed at that moment in time.
I'd like to talk to you about Johnny Bairstow as well, if that's okay. Now, there's a kind of view of Johnny that he bats best when he's got a bee in his bonnet, when he feels he's got something to prove, when he's angry, essentially. That's how we kind of saw his century in Sri Lanka. It's kind of how we saw his, when I say we, I suppose I mean TalkSport, and when he scored the match-winning innings in the first T20, that's how it's kind of caricatured. Is that how the dressing room sees Johnny? Do you, when he goes out to bat in similar situations, is that how you view him? And if not, how do you view him?
No, that's certainly not how we view him. We see Johnny as one of the best players in the world, particularly in the white ball format. And to say he only performs when he's angry, I think is undervaluing Johnny or not giving him credit where it's due. Johnny performs against the best sides in the world. He takes the best bowling lineups in the world on and succeeds majority of the time. So we feel that he's one of our best players. So when he walks out to bat, we're thinking we're delighted to have him in our team.
And lastly, can you tell me, do you think it's a benefit that you play limited overs cricket for England only in so far that it gives you an opportunity to work in and around the county scene? I mean, not necessarily in four-day cricket, but it means that the players that come into the team, into the England side, you've come up against during the summer. So you actually have some kind of knowledge about them before they actually represent England in terms of having to face them or play alongside them.
I think that's a difficult question because obviously the regional stuff that we play in Canada, play against. So my knowledge in playing against people that play in the northern group of the T20 And to get a feel of what they're like on the field is poor because I never play against them. But my all-round knowledge of their game, because of technology, is excellent. There are very few things that are missed nowadays, and this has been going on for a considerable period of time, that everybody is logged and coded, and there are very few players that come out of the blue that haven't been either involved in a county age group or a national or regional representative, maybe academy, let alone squad. So it's very rarely that you miss a player coming through. So to come back to your original question, I think it is a benefit for me because I'm good at white ball cricket and I'm terrible at red ball cricket.
Owen Morgan there, the England captain, World Cup winner, and well, you heard him. He gave a pretty considered answer to the question, didn't he? He thinks that captaincy's moved on, and you've got to go with the times, essentially, that he's been playing for a long, long time now, and maybe 12 years ago it wouldn't have been seen, but now you've got to go with it. The other question I asked, of course, was about Johnny Bairstow. We always describe him as an angry player, don't we? You know, when he's got a point to prove, that's when you're going to see the best of Johnny Bairstow. Well, he hooked me for six on that one. He wasn't having any of that. And then, of course, followed up with a question about the benefits of actually playing cricket with the people that come into the team, something that maybe Trevor Bayliss and Joe Root don't get. They play so much cricket, they've got a player in their team all of a sudden, and they don't know what this person's like. They've never faced them on the county circuit. But let's go back to that point. I mean, Darren Goff, you're out there on the field and you're setting your field, you've got your bowlers, you're ready to go, and then suddenly the analyst is saying, actually, you should probably think of a different field position and get a different bowler on.
I'm all for it. I really am. And I think the reason that is the way coaching is done these days. You're always looking for that next thing that will help and enhance the ability of the captain on the field. Because sometimes, as we've seen in the past, Owen Morgan, we go back to that T20 final when Ben Stokes got it for those sixes. He, for the only time I've ever seen Owen, was not panic, but he probably didn't deal with it. He should have slowed the play down, spoke to Ben Stokes, and changed things. That's where the analyst comes in, knows where the player hits. I knew it. I was talking about it on radio at the time, but we all know where he was going to hit the ball, the way he was looking to hit the ball. It's his only shot. We've seen it many times in playing since. And he just didn't just step back. He just kept going and going and going. And Owen just let him keep going and going and going and should have slowed it down. And sometimes, just because someone gives you a bit of advice, it doesn't mean you have to take it. And it's a typical coach-captain relationship. The idea of the coach is basically when you go in at lunchtime or at the break or at a drinks break, and they've got these tactical breaks now we're bringing into the game, is you go out there and you say what you see from distance. Mm. The captain might not see that because he's in there in the that moment of wildness during a T20 or 50 over game, and it's a bit of advice. If you go back and just relate to it to football, you remember when West Ham, David Moyes had COVID. Mm. He was watching the TV at home. Stuart Pearce was watching it from the stands, and Alan Irvine was on the touchline. You had three different views of the game, all coming together, and they got the results. Sometimes that helps. And putting it up on there, with all the analyst does in a team, and I've seen it close up in New Zealand, the where a player hits it, the percentage of shots under pressure, where he would look to hit, and we all do it. You go for your favourite shot when you're under pressure. If they can see that and they've done all the stats that back it up, why not tell the captain? If he can understand the numbers and the letters they put up, why not go with it? So I think it was absolute genius from England. We go back to Bob Woolmer when he did it for Warwickshire with the microphones and the earpieces, and they got done for it. Do you remember that? Mm. Many, many years ago. But even then, I thought that was way ahead of time. I thought that was brilliant. I thought it was genius.
I tell you what, Jarrod Kimber, he's back. He's going to be part of the ODI setup. He's going to be loving hearing this. Oh. I mean, in fact, I'm going to play this out to him as part of the first show. What have you got to say to Jarrod?
Wouldn't Jarrod like it? that's what an analyst's job is. An analyst for me, as I said, Jared's one of the best in the business. He knows what it's about and he's going to be on side with it. They do hours and hours of research. They don't just rock up on the day and just think, oh, this is what's going to happen. Oh, yeah. They know everything. They know where he's going to hit the ball. They know the percentage of balls that will go in the first ball of an over, the last ball of an over. Sometimes the bowler wouldn't know that. Sometimes the bowler is lazy. He might get a video of a player batting. He might skip through it quickly, like we used to do. But these guys, they go through it with a fine-tooth comb, don't they? And it's brilliant. And I'm totally with England on this. If you speak to people about bowling coaches around the world and who is very good and who's arguably the best out there, it'll be Shane Bond from New Zealand. And he does all this sort of stuff. So that's what he does. He analyses the game. He analyses batsmen. He analyses each ground you go to, where that most of the boundaries on that ground are hit. That's all the information these analysts get. Why not use that data? Every other sport uses it. Football uses it every single week. They have analysts. That's what they're for. They're not there just to make up and pay another person a wage just to go up on a tour. They're there to give you information. And if they can pass it on during game time, can help you win a game.
Brilliant stuff. Quick look at the game, the first match. A couple of players into the ODI squad who weren't part of the T20 setup. You've ringed them yourself, actually, on your crib sheet. So Lewis Gregory coming in, Liam Livingstone, Joe Root, who you already mentioned, Ollie Stone and Chris Wokes. Ollie Stone's a name that jumps out of that page to me.
Before we go with Ollie Stone, let's talk about Mark Wood. He's absolutely itching to have a game. I thought he would have got a game in the T20. It wasn't a B. He's in the 50-over squad. I would expect him to start. Wokes, he comes back in. Consistency at the 50-over game. Again, another player who'll probably be disappointed he's not in the T20 squad. Another one with a point to prove. Rhys Topley, he'll be hoping for some game time. Ollie Stone, by far. Johnny Bairstow, I interviewed him the other day, didn't I? And he talked about how quick he bowled and very difficult to pick up. And I'm very impressed by him, obviously. I've seen him since we were a young lad. I gave him his cap over in Sri Lanka. So yeah, that was pretty special. And I'm looking forward to seeing Moeen Ali, if he gets a game as well. So I think he's a fantastic addition to England. Somehow he's another player they're going to have to try and sneak into that starting 11 come India for the T20 World Cup. So I expect him to come out hungry as well and looking to perform.
Brilliant stuff. Coffee, I'm going to let you go. You've got a drive time meeting to be had. I don't want Adrian Durham on my case. But yeah, you can listen to live and exclusive coverage. TalkSport 2 is the place to be. 10 a.m. Friday, and the game gets underway at 11.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.